Without help from others, it can be difficult for great work to be seen. In music, some of the bands that come and go are not around anymore and would be impossible to reunite. There's other bands that still exist decades after they were founded and continue to tour to many people around the world. For the Beatles, may not have had a longevity as a group itself, lasting only 10 years, but they did work together as a songwriting group. Two of the members, Paul McCartney and John Lennon, have wrote many of the group's biggest songs that have been considered timeless, such as Birthday, Blackbird, Day Tripper, Come Together, Help, Penny Lane, Revolution, and others. And in 1980, the United States did the impossible in people's eyes by defeating the almighty Russians in hockey and winning the gold medal. This event is known as the Miracle on Ice. For the longest time, Russia was very dominant in Olympic hockey, and it was Mike Yurzon and his team, through hard work, that he had ended up scoring the winning goal. And Yurzon was also the captain of the hockey team, and that would end up being his last year being an active hockey player. And on July 20th, 1969, three U.S. astronauts on the Apollo 11 had made history as Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, became the first and second humans to walk on the moon. And although Michael Collins was the third member of the Apollo 11, he did not take part with his partners on the moon. And obviously we all know those famous words that Armstrong would say, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And I'm bringing this up because there's a lack of teamwork going on in today's. And the sermon is called Teamwork because God has put us on earth to help out one another. And today's anchor verse will come from the book of Ephesians, spoken by Paul, who was in Rome in prison. Chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Who is it in your daily life that needs to be sharpened or need help? Is it a family member? Is it yourself? To work together as a team. First point being, for Christ expects teamwork in the confines of a marriage. Now, if we look back at the story of Adam and Eve, Adam did not end up being alone for long. We go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper for him." Now, in a marriage, we all know that husbands and wives have different responsibility in the household. And as I mentioned over and over, marriages should always be 100-100, never 50-50. And there's several other things that I want to mention that marriages are certainly not. It is not a contract. It's a covenant. It is not about the groom and the bride. It's about glorifying God. It is not about showing love until it hurts, but until those famous words, till love, till death do us part. Glorifying Him with everything that we have, our resources, our love for one another, time, gifts. As I was preparing this sermon, there are two couples I want to focus on, the world's oldest couple and the longest married couple. And the longest married couple is Herbert and Samira Fisher, who have been married for 86 years and 290 days. I believe, before Herbert had passed away in 2011. And while they had married young, they got to live through some of the most important events, such as the Second World War, the Great Depression, and the Civil Rights Movement. And the oldest couple goes to Julio Valderrama Quintos from Ecuador. Julio being 110 years old, while Valderrama is 104 and has been married for 1 year shy of 80 years. Now, for these couples, I don't know if they were Christians. I understand that marriage is till death do us part. And this is a relationship that had worked for almost 8 decades because of teamwork. When I was going through a marriage counseling, there were a lot more that I had to consider. And one of them is, once we move in together, setting up a financial budget system, because many couples go into marriage and if they're not careful about balancing finances and resources, it can really fracture a marriage. And another thing is having to marry somebody who is also equally yoked. We take this from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14, with Paul appealing to the Corinthians. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Now, going back, it's usually not a good idea to follow somebody who is not unequally yoked. And it's very rare that few of those marriages end up working out. And while we were going through marriage counseling, a pastor had given us a book written by Gary Chapman called The Five Love Languages. And although the first time I was given it, I hadn't read it through completely, but I finally had a chance to, and it was really an eye-opening book. And the love languages that we learned, there's five of them: words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, physical touch, and gifts. After we both read the book and took the test, sure enough, we both ended up, our strongest love language is acts of service. And one of the scriptures Pastor brought up was from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 12. Two are better than one, because they had a great reward for their toil. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. The threefold cord is not quickly broken. That cord representing Jesus Christ is what keeps a couple remaining strong together. And marriage is a sacred gift, because you have a partner that will be with you for the good and the bad times. Once more, nobody wants to live alone. And it saddens me to see the modern generation looking down on marriage, because they want everything now. They don't want the responsibility of being together with one person their rest of their lives. It seems to be more about what can I get out of this relationship. And if the marriage is truly rooted in the biblical teachings of Christ, then nothing will stop you or your spouse of winning or losing. Any sport that you might watch, even if one person doesn't give their best, it's a likely chance that they'll lose. Whether it's winning a Stanley Cup, a World Cup, or a Super Bowl, takes dedication, discipline, hard work, and everyone working together to win these awards. When it is won, it represents the fact that that team is the best team of that year. And for the Super Bowl, who was the runner-up of that team? The Cincinnati Bengals. And who was the winner? The Los LA Rams. But did the Bengals work hard? Yes. Now, second place isn't always bad, but I'm sure sometimes one of us or someone you might know might feel that they could have done better. And in sports, and I'm going to end up saying this directly, it always ends up being about winning, because that's what makes it interesting, the competition that you see, to see who could outdo the others. But the other thing is, athletes have to work honest, hard, and honestly too. We go on to 2 Timothy 2, where it says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. That is why honor must be respected in games, because even one major rule that's broken can cause an athlete to lose out, or even the whole team. And for Jesus, he believed in teamwork. He had 12 disciples on his team, and if we read from Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, we see the disciples beginning their work on the Lord. And he called the 12 and began to send them away two by two. Notice how he's sending them groups of two, teamwork there. He gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for the journey except the staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, wherever you can enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed many oils, many who were sick, and heal them. The fight against Satan will be better as a team, when it's as a team. Because we're able to do so much more by taking care of people's physical and spiritual needs. Christ has given his disciples kingdom authority and gave them authority over evil spirits. When the apostles were given this great privilege, Christ had also given them instructions so they knew that they could depend on him for their successes and their provisions. And by being instructed not to take supplies or money, they were to be fully dependent on God no matter what, for housing, their food. And as a team, the apostles took the gift of healing to neighboring cities. The messages they gave came in two parts. The first was of repentance. And this is really one of the messages that is really overlooked when preaching the gospel. Because when it comes to lukewarm Christians, all they think about is the God is love. All you got to do is be a good person. Can't work if we have both these parts of what I'm about to say. Forgiving of sins and need for people to turn to God. Second message was of physical healing. And in order to help these people, it was best to work on their spiritual needs before the physical needs took place. And Paul certainly worked with people during his three missions journeys. His team consisted of Titus, Barabbas, Apollos, Artemis, Zenas the lawyer, any group of people that have team members. Let's notice a couple of things. Everyone is responsible to take part in good deeds. And I'm not saying this on the sole basis that good deeds bring us to salvation, but each member does have a responsibility of spreading the good news. At the workplace, in the church, any place that has people, when we work as a team, we will not likely know what the outcome is. Remember, God has given us a platform to give people the good news, but what we're not entitled to is the outcome of that doing so. With small or big goals, we are taking on big risks, but we gotta remember that these risks are worth taking, because by leaning on the Lord's understanding, not our own, we will grow as a unit. Going on to the third point, teamwork is vital for the church because everyone needs kingdom values. And Christ commands that. Going on to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, details how important teamwork is in the church. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to the duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. They chose Stephen, a full man of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Panaramus, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Looking at verses 1 through 2, it is showing the importance of the church growing despite the complaints of the Hellenists. And then in the second verse, in context, is explaining that while it is not a bad thing for pastors to help out by picking up a shovel, if they have kids, change a diaper, that it would be bad for them to be taken away from their calling at the expense of other responsibilities. The third verse, acknowledging the importance of how church leadership requires structure. Now, every year at the church, we have something of what's called Vision Night. And it usually goes over the budget. It goes over the progress of the church, what's working, what needs improvement, what we shouldn't be doing anymore. It also presents a budget of finances and voting on who will take responsibilities for the upcoming year. Now, I understand people are different in their skill sets in different ministries, but we also have to be smart about who we lead in those ministries. You certainly wouldn't want a plumber trying to do brain surgery on somebody. It'd be disastrous. Now, Acts also lists a bunch of deacons, and the two most common in this book are Stephen and Philip. With verse 6 recognizing the dedication of those who are about to become pastors being prayed over, and in 7 showing the multiplication in Jerusalem. I remember the day that I had become a candidate for becoming a pastor, being prayed and giving a speech before the congregation. It showed me how serious the early church was about also doing this, about combining spiritual and material things needed to function appropriately. And the other important thing was the early church using the economy of energy to multiply the numbers in Jerusalem. Christ encourages teamwork because it is vital to the kingdom of God. And it becomes much harder if you do the work by yourselves. And it can lead to sinful behavior such as pride. Now here's some steps to consider. A great team works when we have a diverse group of people with different skill sets and talents. And a team cannot work well if they have the same skills. Going on to 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 10, telling us, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And do you notice that the attitudes that we have when doing the work also makes a great difference too? And I understand how people can be contentious about ideas. My idea seemed plausible. Well, no, I think this idea would work better. Because to grow spiritually, we all have to grow together as one unit to function properly. Because if one individual is weak, then everybody else could end up suffering. Therefore, harmony is important to the body of Christ. And Romans 15, verses 5 to 6 goes on to say, may the Lord of endurance and encouragement grant to you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, together you may one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of it this way. In music, sometimes we may be singing, a lot of times we may end up singing the same words, but we sing the song in different parts, which is known as harmony, which makes it sound much more beautiful. Did you know when it comes to bees that it takes them to travel around 55,000 miles to make 1 pound of honey? And it takes a bee 2 million flowers to make honey. But more importantly, it takes 560 bees to make 1 pound of honey. Would it be a good idea for one bee to make honey on its own? Not really, because if anything, it would only make a few drops. It would exhaust the bee. And for group projects, usually you tend to have small groups, maybe 3 to 5 people in a group. And for those, it's important for the responsibilities to be divided and worked on as best as possible. It should be noted that poor teamwork can happen. We can be strong individually, but still lose. I remember being in school and ended up in projects where I've had to end up doing most of the work, if not all the work, and that's not a fun thing. I don't know the experience that you may have had in school, but it is very stressful to do most, if not all the work. As Christians, we're not meant to do all the work at the same time. Next thing, continue to keep on learning, even if you have the basic functioning skills as a team. Because there's always room for improvement. It's biblical to know, coming from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15, that an intelligent mind here acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. We all have to learn in order to be good at something. It just doesn't happen overnight that you accomplish these skills. Whether it's cooking, whether it's playing an instrument, or a trade skill, because it involves communication, physical action, but more importantly, knowing God. And teamwork is important when it comes to marriage in sports teams, but more importantly, doing the work of God. Because one day, we'll all be together at the same table with the Lord. And trust is needed because it binds everybody together. Economy of energy is important because a healthy church is a related church. Affirmation is needed because everyone would like the attention and praise for the work they've done. All the successes in the ministry relies on heavy sense of team spirit. How do you tend to do your part for the team? what can we do to make the church better? Some of these questions to really consider, because there is really a fallen world out there that needs our help. And when can we start? We can start today by aligning ourselves together. As a unit that is full of spirit, full of biblical ideas to further glorify the kingdom of God. Because with teamwork, we can do greater things for the kingdom of God. Let's pray.